raising. I have a boy, who's like very cis boy energy. And I used to tickle fight with him. And, one of my biggest commitments to him is raising him in a like consent-based relationship, because I know how important that is. And there were times where he would yell, "Stop, stop tickling me," and I wouldn't. And it dawned on me one day that these are the little tiny puzzle pieces that build consent culture, but also the ways that I need to be accountable to him, right? He was telling me to stop, and I just thought it was funny, so I kept going. And for me to come back to him and say, "Hey, listen, you told me to stop and I didn't, and that wasn't okay. And so, if I do this again, it's not your responsibility, but please call me out on that, right? And I'm gonna make sure that I'm also thinking about my actions when you're using your voice, because I want you to keep using your voice." And so every opportunity we have within our relationships, within our families, and within our workplaces, within our communities, to start practicing in those ways with each other. Again, it's like the personal is political. Every time we take those actions and we practice them, they have ripple effects, and they can grow the ways that we can have a much more like healing and restorative and transformative centered culture.
Yeah, and I feel like the transformative part of it is really key too. Like this is
Yes.
a war, like this is a moment when we need to transform to rebuild. And as you say too,
Yes.
like with your kid, you're teaching them about having a voice from a really young age. But like I
Yes.
feel like many people, like older generations, don't have that, never were able to have that voice. So I think this is a time to be like, hey, like let's rebuild this person that we are. Let's find the voice that we never had or we might have had at one point and it was shut down. So it's that, like as you say, like it's transformative, is finding the key to open this voice that was caged years ago.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. And I think, we have older folks calling the crisis line that are calling and using their voice for the first time. And the fact that we've, built a space at Salal so that people can call and actually be seen for the first time is like such an important piece, about being in community and building those spaces for community as well.
Absolutely. And like we're sadly running out of time. But I have one more question that like maybe not for like answering right now because we don't have the time for it, but more a question for reflection, not only for you, for me, for everyone listening to. That is more about if healing were truly centering it on core culture, what do you imagine will feel different at work, in schools, in institution, in our daily lives? How can we as listeners start to build or be part of healing-centered communities in everyday life? And I feel like we'll leave this question open for like everyone listening and for you and us to go on our day and think about this too. But is there anything else you wanna like share with us today? Any conclusions that you have come from our conversation?
No, I guess just to tag on that to that beautiful question that, love is not scarce. And that, we can choose how we want to respond, anytime.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what like having place like Salal is so important too. Well, thank you so much, Dahlia, for your time and words today. It was truly fascinating to talk with you today and to have this conversation. And for everyone listening too, remember healing isn't something we carry alone. It grows through community and care. Thank you for joining us for Healing Together, a special podcast created in the context of SFU Sexual Assault Awareness Month 2026. You can follow us at SFU SVSPO to learn more about our work and our support in the SFU community. And also check out Salal's socials and Salal's webpage. They have a lot of information and services in there too. We hope this conversation sparked reflection and connection. And as Prentice Hemphis remind us, what would it mean to center healing in everything we create? Until next time, take care and take care of one another.
This project was made possible through the guidance, technical support, and generous hosting of CJSF 90.1 FM. We wish to recognize the assistance offered by CJSF volunteers, and our gratitude also goes to Duane Woods at the SFU Center for Educational Excellence for editing and episode transcription. If you or someone you know in the SFU community has been impacted by sexualized violence, please reach out to the SVSPO at our website, www.sfu.ca/sexual-violence. To learn more about our events and resources, you can follow us on Instagram at sfu.svspo. Thank you for being part of this conversation and for joining us in community.
Celebrating Vancouver's underground rock music culture for 3 days of shows from incredible local and touring artists, the second annual Unreal City Festival takes over the Rickshaw Theater and the Russian Hall, January 15th to 17th. Featuring local artists like Worry War, Jody Glenham, so let it keep raining. CJSF chart toppers Devour, and the Houseplant. Veterans by a thread. And headliner Spencer Krug of Wolf Parade, Sunset Rubdown, and Moonface. This unique festival finds bands and music artists upstairs, while downstairs you get access to the coziest grandma's living room style lounge in the city, with DJs, hot food, drinks, on-site tattoo artists, and more. The second annual Unreal City Festival, January 15th to 17th at the Rickshaw Theater and the Russian Hall in East Vancouver. For passes, go to unrealcity.rocks or head to CJSF Music on Instagram to win tickets.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Welcome, Jeff.
Oh, we're on the air. Hi. We're digging in. We're
now
gripping and ripping.
I'm Devours.
You're here, A, because we love you. And
thanks.
We're excited at any opportunity to sneak you into the studio to chat about your music and whatever else comes up, but also because you are playing the Unreal City Festival. You're headlining the last night of the Unreal City Festival.
It
January
is an 15th
honor. To 17th.
Yeah. Next Saturday, January 17th at the Russian Hall. I am honored. I'm excited to do it.
Have you ever headlined a festival before?
I don't think so.
Nice.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe Music Waste back in the day, but they didn't really have like
headliner.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so it's a big deal. The pressure's on. I'm going to try to bring my A game.
How did this come about that you are?
I applied.
Well, that's, same answer as the last band I asked.
It was just fair game. I mean, like, the festival killed it last year. Like, it was so fun. I went, and it was, I'm blown away by Unreal City. Like, the organizers, the volunteers, everyone is amazing. They're really, really good and really organized and good at what they do. And so, yeah, like, I went last year for their inaugural season, and I wanted to be a part of it. But yeah, I just applied, I think, on their website like everyone else did, and I'm very lucky to be doing it.
It seems like this year has expanded a little bit. Like, the stakes seem to be a little higher than last year.
Yeah, they've grown a bit, and like, it's still mostly at the Russian Hall, but I think that they're doing a show
at the Rickshaw
on the Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then also at the Russian Hall, they're going to have some performers downstairs as well, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the lineup is just larger this year than last year.
As someone who, like, you know, we certainly see as kind of like a curator as of the local scene, like, what does it mean to the Vancouver music scene to have a large-scale festival like this that's happening at this time of the year instead of, like, just in the summer?
It is perfect timing. It's perfect. I mean, from, like, a business standpoint, I'm like, yes, amazing, good job. Like, people are bored. They are wet, and it's dark out. And, yeah, I mean, it's perfect timing. I think that, yeah, I'm on board with it. I feel like Vancouver needed this for ages. And so I really want people to go to it because Vancouver needs this.
Yeah, and it seems to be like a really, like, not a janky ass little festival, right? Like, it's like very professional.
It's very professional. Like, yeah. Really... The organizers are like, they know what they're doing. I've been so impressed with everyone.
Yeah, even from, you know, like sort of an outside organization interfacing with the festival, it's been really, really easy on the radio station's end to, like, set partnerships up and get involved and help promote it. They seem like really nice folks who are just really passionate about the scene that they're trying to curate and
strengthen. Yeah, I mean, it's put on by musicians, and I think that you can tell, mm-hmm. right? Like, they know what they're doing, and they're passionate. I, for years now, have been contemplating doing my own festival in Vancouver. But I'm like, it's so hard. And I think a lot of Vancouver musicians are totally that way, too. Like, we're all passionate, but it's like, it's so hard. It's quite stressful to put on a festival. And so I'm really proud of the people at Unreal City for actually doing it, because it's not easy.
Yeah, it really does feel like it's filling a niche that has been, like, desperately been crying out to be filled for a long time,
right? Vancouver has needed this for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, people... You know, festivals pop up and people try to do things, but it is, as we mentioned, very limited to the summer months.
Yeah.
But also just seems to be hard to build upon year after year, right? Like, I remember, this is years ago now, but like the Olio Festival tried to make a go of doing sort of like a... They were less local focused, but more sort of the like Sled Island music.
I've never heard of this.
Exactly.
What is Olio?
Olio?
I don't remember who Olio was as an organization.
I think they just picked the name.
But yeah, it was just like a year. Maybe they did a second year.
Mm-hmm. Chad Van Galen was the headliner.
Yeah,
one year.
Where they like really tried to... They tried to bring in a large scale kind of like medium, more like medium terror, but like a really all encompassing local with a little bit of outside in.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah.
Whoa! Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if I can pull up the lineup here. Not without signing into Facebook.
But yeah, that was it was sad to kind of seeing things like that go. And I feel like there's been other versions of that maybe have like come and gone, but this one seems to have a little bit of staying power. Like, I don't know, people seem excited about this, and like it seems to be really doing a service to the local scene.
There's also just like the sort of cool community factor where they've got, you know, like the downstairs of the Russian Hall set up as a local sort of community organization market. And there's, they've got like upstairs and downstairs going on. The folks in Worrywart were talking about how great it is to be able to have that, like, you know, there's multiple stages going on, but you don't actually have to leave go outside to do it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. We'll see how many people can fit in the Russian Hall.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a tricky, I don't know if I should talk about this on air, but like when I went last year, it was full. There were a lot of people there. I'm not sure if it was like fully sold out. It might have been. But I think that there were some like fire restriction capacity issues. And so I'm not sure if like by putting people downstairs as well, there's like a workaround. I have no idea.
What would you rather play? Would you rather play a smaller venue that's like packed, or like a larger venue that like technically has more people but is like a little more spacious?
Oh, that's tough, Jamie. I've done both, and I think that this time, because I'm using a full like light rig, I like the idea of like the grandeur of like, whoa, the full stage or whatever. I really like being able to move around a lot on a stage. I don't love when I'm like tightly packed and there's a drum set behind me and I can't really move. Like that's tough, but Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be neat to play the Russian Hall. The only time I've played the Russian Hall was doing this video series called Standards.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of that. No. It was a year or two ago. They did. It was a video series. It was like a performance, live performance series. But yeah, so I was there, and it's a big space.
Yeah, I walk past there all the time on my daily walk because I'm in the neighborhood. So
there's always
something going on, but I'd never thought of it as like a music performance venue before. So it's cool to see stuff happening there.
Did you guys go last year? Were you able to go?
No, I did not. Able to go.
Okay, yeah. It's cool. They did a great job last year, and we'll see how this year goes.
Well, speaking of this year, you said you got a light rig. What are your plans for your set this year? What can you reveal?
Okay, yeah. So I'm trying to go all out, right? So there's going to be secret new material.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so the big life update for me is that for the first time in 15 years, I went back to school.
Let's go!
Last fall. To try to become a career counselor.
Oh my God, that's
shocking. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But I graduated. It was a really short, intense, like full-time program. Yeah. So right before Christmas, I finished it. And just being back in school just lifted this, I don't know how to describe it, but I've been like struggling with mental health for years. And it sort of lifted me out of this rut that I had been in where I was like, oh, wait, I feel like hope towards something in my life. And I'm not just like a musician that's like dying out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it just inspired a whole bunch of new material. I'm sitting on a lot of new material for Devours, actually, that I'm eager to play live. So, yeah, I'm going to play some new material. There's the light rig. We'll see. Hopefully Dave can play live drums for it. We're just like waiting to see if he is able to. And I'm purposely haven't been playing a lot these past few months, and like in the next month or so, I'm trying to line up a Golden Age of Wrestling release show, and I'm struggling to find a venue right now. But in general, with Devourers, I want it to be a bit quiet right now because I'm trying to focus on this show.
Of course.
Like, make a big deal of it. So, yeah.
Make it an event.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Well, we're excited for that. Is there anyone else who's playing that you're particularly excited to see or that you think people should be excited to see?
I mean, I think the big question that's on everyone's mind is Spencer Krug going to play I'll Believe in Anything? It's like the most viral song on the planet now, thanks to Heated Rivalry. He is one of my favorite Canadian indie singer-songwriters of all time. I think he's a genius. I played a show with him in Nanaimo a year ago for a festival that they were doing, and I played right before him, and I was too shy to even say hi.
Yeah.
And that's rare for me. I'm usually very friendly, but I was like, oh my God, Spencer Krug. Like, I was dying.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's a big deal in my heart and now on planet Earth because this show is humongous. But yeah, I'm not sure if he'll just do Moonface stuff, like just solo piano, or if he'll like go into Wolf Parade. But yeah, I'm eager to see him. And then also By a Thread is intriguing to me. I've never seen them before, but I can't attend the Thursday.
Oh no.
I feel bad. Yeah, I have other arrangements and I can't go, but they've been on my radar this past year. Because did you guys know of them back in the
Not day? Really, no. But I've, since seeing them on the poster and talking to the festival organizers a little bit, they've clearly, they've been doing the thing for a long time.
Yeah,
and
ages. I had never heard of them until pretty recently because they put out a new album for the first time in a long time. And
that band name is a band name of an established band. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like a band that's been around forever.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't tell you what they sounded like, but yeah, By a Thread, that sounds like a real band.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that show goes well. Who else? A bunch of friends are playing it. I think the lineup is exciting. That band Sundress played approximately 1 million shows in Vancouver last year, and I never saw them.
Well,
I still have yet to see them, and they're playing on the Saturday as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, eager to see what the buzz is about. But, yeah, lots of good stuff.
I asked Jesse if he thought Spencer would play I'll Believe in Anything.
Really? It's on everyone's mind. Yeah. Is he going to play it?
I truly loved the placement of that song in that show.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But
it's really good.
I wonder if that was, like, on his... He, like, wasn't planning to, and he's like, oh, shit, now I got to work it into the...
I know. It's probably on his mind.
My thought is because... On the poster, it is Spencer Krug And then in brackets, Wolf Parade, Sunset Rubdown, Moonface. We'll probably get a little bit of everything. We'll probably get some excerpts.
Maybe.
From
I wasn't sure if
things.
That was who them knows? Just trying to like introduce the name
yeah.
to young people who are like, who is this person? Yeah. And mm-hmm. so they're like, oh, but he was in Wolf Parade and he's also doing all this stuff. And yeah.
I'm I guess really the sure. real question is, who involved in Unreal City is the music supervisor for Heated Rivalry? Right? Because yeah. this has to be, this has, or who has that in?
Yeah,
right?
totally. Yeah, who are, is there anyone that you're eager to discover on the lineup who you haven't seen? Or,
I mean, I also have not managed to catch Sundress, yeah. Despite we've played some of their stuff on yeah. the show, and okay. Like you said, they played a million shows and are yeah. very buzzy. So I feel like yeah. that's probably worth catching. Yeah. Any chance I get to see Buddy, I'm very excited
yeah,
to do
really
so because they're tight and yeah. the new record is great.
Yeah.
I mean, we just had Worrywart on, and yeah, I have so not seen them in a long time.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. I'd like to see them again.
I played a show with them a few months ago at the Mezzanine. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Mezzanine. It's a really good new venue. Yeah, Worrywart sounded amazing as always. And we also played with a band called Wiles. Wiles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are good. Just like giving them a shout out right now. They're really good.
I think they put out something last year. Anyway, Wiles is very like newish to me, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
they're really, really tight. Mm-hmm. Worrywart had mentioned, I think, Checked Out.
Yeah.
So I think
they're really good.
I played
Green Auto Fest with them last summer, and I didn't know who they were beforehand, but yeah, they impressed me. They were really good.
Yeah, I think that's one of the bands for me that I'm kind of the most interested in.
Mm-hmm. And in a little bit, we're going to talk to the Houseplants, who dominated
really
the CJSF charts for a long time. So I've played their music a lot and heard it a lot, but I've never seen them live. So I definitely want to check.
They're really
check
good.
Them out as
They're
well.
Very like professional mm-hmm. level. Yeah, really good musicians. Nice
what,
people.
What? And I'm probably going to bring this up with them, but what is kind of harrowing for me about Houseplants is that they feel like really mid-aughts, like indie rock, like just a really classic post-punk indie rock.
Yep.
And it's so, like, it shakes me to my core that is coming back around again, because they're doing like a really good take on it that's yeah. really fresh and like really builds off of that and doesn't kind of have sound like the monotone of that era. They've got like a lot more personality on it while still kind of echoing it. So that is a tough swallow for me, but like is really cool that they're doing it. So
I've been eager to hear a full length from them, because I've played a few shows with them at this point and they're really tight live, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what a full length would sound like. There's so much potential mm-hmm. there. Yeah, I'm eager to see more from them.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Well, I guess while we're here, I know we're talking Devourers, because Devourers is playing this festival.
Yeah.
Golden Age Wrestling. Hey.
For listeners, this is my evil, cocky alter ego project. So I have two projects, Devourers and the Golden Age of Wrestling. The Golden Age of Wrestling ultimately is what I'm focusing on right now, because I'm about to release an album for it in February. And the project always gets overshadowed by Devourers, which is, it is what it is. It's fine. But yeah, I'm trying to find a venue to put on an album release for it. The album's called Sweet Chin Music, and it's kind of like mostly instrumental electronic stuff for listeners who don't know what it is.
What once described as glambient.
I'm still using it. Sure.
We were talking about the new single you put out, which is something Denton, Texas. I can't remember the first.
Yeah, Revenge Body.
Revenge Body, Denton, Texas. Yeah. We were talking about it at the station, and someone asked if, like, did he do amateur wrestling? And I was like, no, but the kayfabe of the Golden Age of Wrestling and the rollout and the marketing that we've got through that is dedicated to the level of amateur wrestling, I would say.
Cool. I mean, I grew up watching wrestling. I adore it. I used to like invent my own moves when I was a teenager. Like, I'm really into it. I like the psychology, the business, the culture is really interesting.
And I mean, that makes sense given the name of the project that you would have an affinity there. But
yeah.
I just like that you're also you're taking on the kayfabe of it all, and that seems like it suits you and the project. Really
It's fun to have a character, because Devourers is me. Like, yeah. It's so, so personal, and mm-hmm. it's always just been an extension of who I am. And the Golden Age of Wrestling isn't entirely different, but I get to sort of, like, indulge in my, like, villainous, cocky side, and sometimes just get to be honest.
Yeah.
Whereas Devourers, I always feel like I need to be so careful to, like, be nice to everyone.
Sure.
And the Golden Age, I get to just, like, be an asshole.
Get to be your heel.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fun. Like, they're both parts of me. Right? Like, yeah. It's not totally fake.
Well, it's just, like, so, the funniest part about that is, like, the social media presence for the Golden Age is, like, classic heel. But, like, I find the musically just, like,
the music
truly,
is, like, really
like, soothing peaceful. And just, like, gorgeous. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Very, very, very good. Boom Wrestling, Golden Age of Wrestling collab, when is that happening? I feel like we need to get that involved with like local professional wrestling somehow. I feel like there's a marriage there that can be made.
But I'm gonna sound very ignorant. Is Boom Wrestling local?
Local, yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, I need to check them.
They
out.
They play. They do monthly shows at the Legion on Commercial.
Oh, neat.
Jeff,
okay.
We should go. We should go to a show.
I would love to. Oh, yeah, I want to see more local wrestling.
Yeah. Cool. Former CJSFer, Magnum Mel. We'll use their wrestling persona. Doesn't wrestle so much there, but is a wrestler in and around the scene. So
you
get a chance.
Well, Jeff, thanks for taking the time to join us to promote Devour's appearance at the Unreal City Festival. You're closing the thing down on Saturday the 17th at the Russian Hall, 10 o'clock. You can get festival passes at unrealcity.rocks. I also think we're giving away a couple passes if you go to at CJSF Music on Instagram. We're giving away 2 sets of 2 passes. Jeff, anything else you think people should know? Any last like pitch to get people to come out or
all
anything
I'm
going to
say is that last year was amazing and this year is going to be amazing as well. The lineup is so good. Please come to this. Vancouver needs festivals. So yeah, come and support it.
Amen.
Preach. Preach.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Bye.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. And it keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJSF 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.
This is Bird Note. Hollow bones help birds like this herring gull sail around in the air without using much energy. But gulls resting on the water look remarkably different from the common loon floating nearby. A gull's body rides high above the surface, like a cork, while the loon's back just tops above the water, like a submarine peeking above the waves. That's because these two birds are specialized for very different lifestyles. While the gull is adapted for efficient flight, the loon is fine-tuned for the underwater world. The loon's bones are denser than those of gulls, songbirds, and other expert flyers. With a lightweight skeleton, they'd be too buoyant to dive and chase fish. Instead, Loons can kick their powerful legs and webbed feet to swim 200 feet or more underwater. Penguins can dive even deeper. Emperor penguins submerge for up to 30 minutes and can reach depths of 1,500 feet before coming up for air. Dense bodies make these birds poor flyers, or even flightless in the case of penguins. But they are acrobats under the waves. For BirdNote, I'm Ariana Rimmel.